The scripture for this morning comes from Mark 9. 6 days later, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him. They went up on a high mountain where they could be alone. There in front of the disciples, Jesus was completely changed, and his clothes became much whiter than any bleach on earth could make them. Then Moses and Elijah were there talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Teacher, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." But Peter and the others were terribly frightened, and he did not know what he was talking about. The shadow of a cloud passed over them and covered them. From the cloud, a voice said, "This is my son, and I love him. Listen to what he says." At once, the disciples looked around, and they saw only Jesus. As Jesus and his disciples were coming down the mountain, he told them not to say a word about what they had seen until the Son of Man had been raised from death. So they kept it to themselves, but they wondered what he meant by the words "raised from death." Here ends the reading. Let us pray. Still speaking God, be with us this morning as we celebrate your love and compassion and seek to find truth and light in your holy word. Amen. So here are Peter, James, and John up on the mountaintop with Jesus. This is the transfiguration in which they catch a glimpse of what is to come. And yet, in spite of this glorious moment of enlightenment, they are still confused and not understanding what they've seen. They see only the world's darkness around them. And it is only after Jesus is crucified and raised that they begin to understand that a new world is coming into being. Now, Presbyterian pastor Nita Lindsay Pringle writes that the transfiguration lifts a veil between one reality and another, plunging them and us into a world of mystery. We are given a glimpse of the glorious future at the very time when we know that the death of Jesus is coming closer with each passing day. These passages bring together the suffering and the glory, which are both essential parts of the mission and the identity of Jesus. The two cannot be separated. Presbyterian Seminary President Craig Barnes writes that the Gospel of John begins the Easter story with the words, "Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark." This is always how our discovery of the risen Christ begins, he writes, in darkness. While it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb because earlier in the week, Jesus had been killed. With him, her hope had died. We too are in darkness that threatens our grasp on hope. In these past few days, ISIL captive Kayla Mueller suffered and died. In these past few days, some of us waited for a diagnosis. In these past few days, some of us lost a friend to death. In these past few days, War has raged on, and terrorists have brought violence to peaceful citizens of the world. We too are in darkness. Craig Barnes writes, "No one is ever ready to encounter Easter until he or she has spent time in a dark place where hope cannot be seen." He writes, "Easter is the last thing we are expecting. This is not a day about bunnies, springtime, and chocolate. It's about more hope than we can handle." The horror and pain of the disciples at the crucifixion is beyond imagining. And when Jesus suddenly appears among them as they are hiding in an upper room behind a locked door, they must have been elated, afraid, shocked, all at the same time. And this, even though he had told them specifically that he would be back. Now, maybe they thought the resurrection thing would be, things would be like before. But those who have experienced the death of a loved one know that that is magical thinking. We can't go back, ever. What we long for, what we miss, what we beg God to give back is dead. Easter does not change that. The only way out of darkness is by moving ahead. For the disciples and for us, the only person who can lead the way is the Savior. But Craig Barnes writes, until we discover a new vision of the Savior, a Savior who has risen out of our disappointments, we will never understand Easter. After the resurrection, things don't go back to normal, no. Jesus has not come back like Lazarus, resuscitated, stinking of death, and trailing his burial shroud. But what is this resurrection if it's not actually coming back to life? Resurrection for the disciples is a new way of seeing. Each person who had known Jesus in his earthly life and who had direct knowledge of his terrible death was forever changed after the resurrection of Jesus. Suddenly, they have a new understanding of death and life. Suddenly, they have a new view of what Jesus had been telling them about the realm of God. Suddenly, they are filled with joy. And yet, they are still in darkness. Jesus tells them he is going to be with God, that although he has risen, he no longer has an earthly life. It's not until Pentecost, when they get filled with the Spirit, that they are able to pass from the darkness of fear and anxiety and to go boldly forth as apostles. And that's all we really know about what resurrection was for Jesus and his followers. We have no historical records of the resurrection or what actually happened in the tomb. Craig Barnes writes that following Jesus is a never-ending process of losing him the moment we have him captured, only to discover him anew and in an even more unmanageable form. Every expectation of Jesus is only another futile effort to get him back into the past, into life as we understand. But Jesus won't stay in the past. He's been resurrected, changed, and beckoning us forward into God's vision for creation. So, for us in the 21st century, we are left to ponder what resurrection means for us here today. You may or may not believe that Jesus actually, physically rose from the dead and then ascended to heaven. That's for each of us to consider in our own hearts. But no matter what we believe about the resurrection, the fact is that Jesus has moved from human flesh to an image of the possibilities that God presents to us for the future. In his resurrection, Jesus invites us to the banquet that God has prepared for us. In his resurrection, Jesus leads us from darkness to possibilities. At the transfiguration and the resurrection, the disciples have seen the promise of an enduring God. People who have been in the darkness of a near-death experience tell us they have seen God's promise of life after life. And with the resurrection story, we too have seen the promise of love and harmony for all creation into eternity. Let us pray. Still speaking God, we bless your name as we rest safe beneath your mighty wings, sheltered, loved, and forgiven. We are thankful that you care for each one of us as if we were the only one. We live in your holy promise of life after life, when we will join the saints that have gone before us at the heavenly banquet which you have prepared for all of creation. Amen.